Hello and welcome to From Fear to Fire, secrets to overcome fear, embrace your gifts, and achieve success. This is the place where real people share real challenges and where you can find a common bond and uncommon wisdom through their journeys to help you move from fear to fire. I am your host, Heather Hansen O'Neill, and our quote today is, food brings people together on many different levels. It's nourishment of the soul and body. It's truly love. And that is by Jada De Laurentiis. And our amazing guest today, drum roll, JJ Jackson is a career radio personality, but don't let his radio prowess fool you. Jackson's other passion is food, not just eating, but cooking. He's a unique cross between Irma Bombeck and a morning DJ that's never gotten quite enough sleep. JJ says that you put the two in a blender and what comes out is a funny and informative podcast that he calls Food Tips, The Basics and Beyond. It's a great show. JJ has been recognized for his food creations by the Food Network, Southern Living Magazine, and the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. He served on industry boards of three states for school nutrition and on the national board as well. He's a former board member of Feet of Louisville Families for Effective Autism Treatment and a key influence in helping to get the autism insurance bill passed into law in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. He's done a lot. And I am so happy to have JJ with us today. JJ, how are you?
Oh, doing great, Heather. Thanks so much for having me. And that was just a great intro. It almost sounded as if I wrote it.
I know that this is just a small amount of what you have done in your journey, in your career. You've done so much. I definitely wanted to point out some of those givebacks, but you've just done so much. Is there anything in particular that you learned in your journey that you think is important for our listeners to know?
Yes. I think it's very important to have friends. Mm-hmm. And when I say friends, a very large circle of friends. And you can have a large circle of friends that are genuine friends. A lot of people believe, well, if you have one or two really close friends or three to five or something like that. And I'm not just talking about social media and Facebook and things like that. You know, people you can spend time with, go out to dinner with, cook for, those kinds of things. I think it really helps. And naturally the cooking part comes in and the kitchen comes in, because whenever you have guests over or whenever you go to somebody else's house, where do you gather?
You gather in the kitchen.
A lot of problems solved there.
So it's funny that you say that. So just last night I was attempting to go to a luau on the beach with several friends. And as soon as they were about to start, and they looked so cute and I wanted to see them so badly, this enormous black cloud came over and started to pour, and everybody picked up their chairs and they were running. And so we're like, uh-oh, what do we do? I lived at the closest, and now I invited all of the friends over to my home. And I
oh
was
my God. Really?
Hoping that that I had remembered to kind of straighten up a little bit, but where did we end up? In the kitchen.
Yeah.
As it should be. So what was it like starting on your journey a day or two ago?
Well, as a high schooler, I was kind of lost. I was raised during the era of hippies. Mm-hmm. and high school clothing was changing. You know, we were going from button-down shirts and, you know, pleated pants to blue jeans, shorts, that kind of thing. And it was a struggle in the beginning. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. At one point, I quit high school and I decided to join the Army. I wasn't a real good fit for the Army, but I joined the Army anyway. And I did it in such a way that sadly a recruiter said to me, I tried to get in the Coast Guard, I tried to get in the Navy, I tried to get in the Marines. I don't know why I wanted to do that. And then finally, as I was leaving the recruiter's office, a guy at the back, you know, said, "Hey, come over here. Have you thought about the Army?" And I said, "Well, no." And he said, "Well, come on in." And he started showing me the pictures of all these exotic places you could go to and where you could be stationed. And I said, "You know, I'm 17 at the point." And I said, "Well, that's the place for me. I'll do that." And I said, "Look, I'm never going to get my parents' consent because I was underage." And he said, "Well, you know, I can show you a way where you can get in without getting your parents' consent," which was not altogether the right
Oh
thing to
my
do.
goodness.
Of course,
Yeah.
no names being mentioned here,
Yep,
nothing
yep.
of that. Okay. But I did it and it worked. And the next thing I knew, I was in Fort Dix, New Jersey in February of 1970,
Oh.
learning how to fight a war in frigid temperatures. And the war was in, you know, very temperate temperatures, and it was a little confusing to me. But as soon as I get in, I realized I made a big mistake. So I went through. I found an adjutant general up there. He had a lot of hair behind his head, and he said, "Well, what you did? I mean, we can get you out of this on a discharge that would be an honorable discharge." And I said, "Well, let's get started with that." So I had to get to my parents. I had to convince them I made a mistake. And they went to a congressperson. I finally ended up processing out. But as I processed out, they had me do KP, which is kitchen patrol. And I was there from morning to night, and I loved it. I'm peeling potatoes and I'm going like, this is the greatest thing in the world. Cause to me, those were not, you know, minute tasks. These were thoughtful tasks.
Yeah.
And I got to the point where I really enjoyed it. And when I got out, you know, I kind of lost that for many years, ended up going to a broadcasting school, and then ended up in radio on that journey. And then years later, I picked up cooking. I guess I was maybe 38 years old. And after that, I just employed cooking with almost everything I did.
I love that. I love that so much. And you and I were chatting offline about the fact that I'm not known in the family as being chef extraordinaire or even adequate. I've been known to burn things, but lately, just this past year, I have really ramped up my cooking skills because I'm taking the time to enjoy it. And when you were speaking about that, about the potato, I felt like there's this mindfulness to it. Do you find that it's it, there is it, when you do it in that capacity, it brings joy and peace?
It's calm. It's my calm. This is, I did I, when I first started doing this, I was at a time when I had a son that was very ill. And my now ex-wife would stay with him in the hospital. He's about 8 or 9 at the time. And I would come home and cook and just experiment. And, you know, that's really how the journey started, just like that. It is a place for me where I can relax and enjoy. You know, these are tasks sometimes. If you're wanting to make like Holy Trinity, which is green pepper, onions, and celery. Well, you got to chop them really fine, okay? And that to most people is like, I don't want to do this. I can go to the Publix or, you know, the Piggly Wiggly, and I can get it already chopped up. But no, you know, if you do that, you take pride in it, and you learn how to enjoy it.
I love that. And I'm finally understanding like what you're talking about in a big way. And I'm really enjoying it too. So, you know, you've incorporated the food into every area through your podcast, but I want to bring up just for a moment first about school nutrition, because I think it is just wonderful what this the stories that I've heard about the good that's being done to help feed our youth. And so could you share a little bit about that, please?
Yeah, and I hope I don't go too long on this, but here's how I got involved in that. I was on my last stop in radio, live radio, which is a little different than the way it is now. And it was in Louisville, Kentucky. And while in Louisville, I continued on the food journey. I got involved with a charity called Feet of Louisville, like you had mentioned before, and it's Families for Effective Autism Treatment. And they knew I was involved with food, and they came to me when I was first put on the radio station. Radio station had a lot of reach. It could be heard in a great deal of the area. And I'd gotten into a local newspaper, Louisville Courier Journal, for talking about food on the radio. It was a little unique then. It was at the start of the Food Network. And they recruited me to get involved with that organization. So as I got involved with that, I met a man who invented the pressure fryer for Colonel Sanders. And he went on to invent several other pieces of equipment. He was on the design team at General Electric for the spiral agitator in the washing machine. His name was Winston Shelton. And we just got friendly. And while I was on the air, we were giving away like vouchers to go out and eat in restaurants. And I always had a couple left over. And when I had a chance to get together with Winston, we'd go out to dinner and we'd share all these stories. And he'd tell me stories about Colonel Sanders that were, stuff you've heard about, but never thought you'd know anybody that had anything to deal with that. And once I went to work for Winston, which is the name of the company, I was scheduled to be a consultant liaison, and I had no idea what that was. I'm still not quite sure I do know what that was, but I ended up being like a Southeastern regional for selling these pieces of equipment we were just talking about. And school nutrition was a part of this, because you do all five fingers of food service. You sell to convenience stores, you sell to prisons, you sell to just everywhere, colleges, universities. And once I got involved with K-12, it seemed to me there was a mission there. And everyone I knew that I worked with or sold to, they were all, a part of that mission. The mission was to feed kids because hungry kids can't learn.
That's right.
So we did so much. It just it was great. So that all happened about a year after I got out of radio.
Wow. I applaud you for doing that because I completely agree with you. Hungry kids can't focus, so they can't learn. And I love that you're a part of that. That's fantastic. So let me ask you about that fear to fire moment, if you had one. So I say that because, with the name of my show being From Fear to Fire, I like to ask people about a moment where they experienced extreme challenge or something that was frightening or a difficult time that they overcame and learned a really important lesson from. Do you have one of those?
I don't have enough fingers and toes. I mean, there were so many of those. That's wow. I'll start at one that I can vividly remember. I was in high school. I was playing in bands, probably one of the other reasons why I didn't care for high school too much. And I was a little afraid about getting in front of people, and I could never figure out how to get ahead of that fear. Now we're talking about I'm 16, 15, 16, something like that. And then we'd go to these high school dances, like in church basements, and these local bands would play, and they'd play, and the music was really good. This is mid 60s music, really three chord rock and roll kind of. And it was something I played the guitar, so it was something I could do as well. But playing in front of people was a little tough. And then I just at one point decided that I'm going to get up and dance, and I'm going to bring people up on the floor with me to dance. And that always started with girls because it's very hard to get the boys up to dance. Yeah. And then, I mean, it got to the point where the bands were depending on me to get them to bring people up when we do this. And then I thought to myself, God, you know, that's scary. But I don't care. You have to have kind of like this I don't care attitude. I'm going to do that because I gotta put myself out there. And that's one of the times that, you know, you kind of face that fear to fire thing.
So I always love to get to the what happened just before that, because, you know, when you're talking about that was scary, but you did it anyway. Right. So for somebody out there who is facing something that's scary, I don't know if it's asking for a raise or asking somebody out on a date or, you know, whatever scary thing that they might be, starting a business, writing a book, whatever it might be. They know that it's going to be rewarding, but they're still kind of scared. What are you going to tell them?
Well, you can tell them about the after, because the after is once you do it, it's like, well, that was nothing.
Yes.
And then you go, and it's very satisfying, and you get this huge rush out of it, because it's like, wow, did I do that? And then it makes you want to do more. So, you know, that might have been the start of me wanting to get in front of people and just talk to them and learn more about what you do when you get in front of people. So, I mean, every time I would push it, it was just another step, and it became easier and easier to do, especially with the formula of doing it over and over again.
Yeah. Anything that we do, that we practice, it does become easier. You're expanding your comfort zone every time. I love that. Thank you so much, JJ. You know, always like when our listeners can walk away thinking about something that they might be able to change, that they might be able to, you know, think about differently or do something different. So I appreciate that. So do you have a personal hero or a mentor or anyone like that?
I have, I do. It's my son, who's gone now. His name was Casey. He was born in 1980, and he was a part of the Rain Man generation. If you know the movie Rain Man with Dustin Hoffman and Tom Cruise, he came up at a time when there was still a stigma about autism. Mm-hmm. And he was born autistic, profoundly autistic. And this was a time when the challenges were starting to be met. 1 in 10 births were autistic. I believe that's correct. And like only 2 of them were girls. It was prevalent. Mm-hmm. You know, it was really a boy's disorder. Mm-hmm. And the way he dealt with it was difficult for me, because with autism, there's self-stim, and there's the problem with the hearing, birds, babies. It's just, they can't, you know, you can't handle that. Mm-hmm. And it's a constant, even today, a lot of, I'm involved with autistic teens in Louisville, because they about college age now. When I knew them when I was in Louisville, they were toddlers. Okay. And babies, when they're toddlers, are very cute, whether they're autistic or not. But, you know, as they get older, some of their the way they react, it people will see it in a setting like in a restaurant or something. And a lot of people don't know what that is. And it makes them uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But it does. If you know what to recognize when you see it, you know how to kind of deal with the situation. But anyway, he was a pioneer in that regard. And that's why he was my hero. He also dealt with Crohn's disease, which is not unusual for people with profound autism because, you know, they're tearing themselves up inside. And as a result, they are a lot of them have those kind of stomach disorders. And finally, at the age of 33, he passed away as a result of Crohn's disease, you know, that was compounded by the autism.
Oh, JJ, I'm so sorry for your loss, and I'm so warmed to hear that he drives you and that he's a hero and that you look up to his ability to be one of those people on the cutting edge in the beginning
Right.
of people understanding what this is, you know. And so I thank you so much for sharing that with us today. So, do you have anything that's in your mind like coming up that you're super excited about? You know, is there anything that is driving you right now, a goal or a dream or anything like that?
Yeah, this podcast that I'm doing, Food Tips, the Basics and Beyond, is just it's something I've wanted to do for a long time. I was wrestling, like most former DJs and radio people, with the death of radio, which is essentially what's happened. Big business that w was not radio primarily, took over. Bankers and people who really didn't understand radio, and there was oh, what was it in 1996? They passed a Federal Communications Act where you could own more radio stations in a local area, and so that's where the big boys got involved, and it kind of destroyed live radio, the kind of theater of the mind radio that a lot of us had a chance to do in the early 70s to likely mid 80s. And it was, I just decided that anything else that was like it is never going to come back. It was what it was. It was awesome. And now it's gone. So I saw people starting to do podcasts, and I'm going like, well, what is this? This is like nothing. And then maybe 2 years ago, I said, well, I'd done a radio show, a live radio show here in Atlanta on WGST radio, and it was a 2-hour cooking show in 2003, 20 years ago. And it did well for a while, but it just, you know, programming changes and program directors change, and as a result, that was over. And it got me to Louisville. So I kind of put it to bed, and then I just kept thinking, well, I can do this podcast, and I came to the conclusion that it's not about the exterior of what happened to radio, or the interior for that matter. It's about the people, the talent that drives radio and podcasting, and that the cream always rises to the top. That's always been true. So if I have anything that pushes me, it's that, well, maybe I can get to a point where, you know, I'm doing this and actually monetizing it, and I think it's a saleable thing. So that's what gets me up in the morning.
That's awesome. Well, you do have a great show, and I am going to encourage. Actually, this is the perfect time to invite you to share with people how they can find you, how they can find the show, or anything else that you would like them to know.
Well, I'm in the same place as you're in, so it works out really well. And you're coming up on episode 12 of Food Tips, the Basics and Beyond. And that will be out, gosh, shortly after we finish our talk today. My host is Spotify, and I chose them just based on some friends that are using Spotify as well. And I distribute through them, and actually, I'm wherever podcasts are available. If you can find a place where I'm not on, let me know, and I'll shoot an RSS feed that way, and we'll get on there too. But I would encourage people to go to Spotify, look up podcasts, put in Food Tips, the basics, because if you only put in Food Tips, There's another show called Dog Food Tips.
Oh no, we don't want that one. We don't want that one.
And I don't want them getting the listeners on there. So just put in food tips, the basics, and it'll come. And there's a picture of me. So, and it says food tips on it. And just listen, we got about 12 episodes so far, which is minuscule compared to the amount of episodes you have already.
Yeah, well, I'm a podcasting machine, which pretty soon you're going to be as well, my dear, because you're doing good stuff out there. So listeners, don't worry, you know, I always put the links into the show notes to make it nice and easy for you. But for those of you who are sitting there with pen in hand, I'll repeat for you. It's Food Tips, the Basics and Beyond. Check them out on Spotify and anywhere else that you can listen to a podcast. And I'll also throw your a link to maybe your LinkedIn or some other additional way. To
Oh, sure. Absolutely. My Gmail is for everybody. It's radiojackson@gmail.com. It's very simple. Any questions at any time, if you listen to the podcast, have any suggestions, please write to me.
Yeah, definitely. He's an open book.
I am.
So, you know, I have two more questions before we jump into your final parting words of wisdom. I got super excited about getting your show information out there, so I jumped the gun. But I want to hear about a famous person that you may have met or have a story about.
All right. Well, having been on the radio at the time I was on the radio, I've met a lot of famous people. Yeah. And I don't know where to start. I was engaged with a comedy club here that opened in 1982 called The Punchline in Atlanta. And every week on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I had comedy interviews. So everybody that was coming up at that time, I interviewed Bob Saget, Stephen Wright. I don't know if people know the comedian Stephen Wright, but just to give you a more current example, he is the voice of, in the Emoji Movie, of the father of Meh. So he's got a very long way of talking. Most difficult interview I ever did, because it was like, he's like in the slow lane of life. I mean, it's just, and it's so funny the way he does it. But anyway, he's a great one. Bob Saget now is, passed away just not too long ago. Mm-hmm. Great comedian. Jay Leno before he got on The Tonight Show. Mm-hmm. There's so many. I do have a quick amusing story. Do we have time?
I like a good amusing story. Bring it on.
Okay. So I had a partner then, Gary Corey. The show was JJ and the Cowboy. We were doing urban cowboy music then. And we had an interview with Dr. Joyce Brothers. Mm-hmm. And she came in and she was actually a little huffy. And it was like, well, you know, this is somebody who, you know, is a very calm person and is giving advice to other people to be calm. And we got interrupted for part of the interview. We're in a commercial break and she took a phone call. She went outside and we could see her from the broadcast window by the elevators. And I mean, she was like kicking the wall. And then, I mean, she had a disagreement with her husband and I mean, she just couldn't get over it. So when we came back from the commercial break, we just said, well, Dr. Brothers couldn't finish our conversation today. Thank you very much for being here. And that was the whole story. It was like, how unusual is that?
Oh, wow. Oh, the poor thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's life. It happens to everybody, right? But you just don't think it's going to happen.
The show must go on. The show must go on. I come from that background, the theater background. So you keep going no matter what, right?
Oh, yeah. It gets crazy sometimes.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Okay. So you're excited about the show. You've met some really cool people. You've had an eclectic, fun, incredible background. I want to just ask one more question about humanity. I'm very passionate about expanding humanity and about seeking humanity in business. I think it's the solution now to the disconnected world in which we live. So what are your thoughts on humanity in business or in podcasting or in life or any of that?
You got to be genuine.
Yeah.
You have to know who you are. First of all, yeah, it starts, you know, it starts in here.
Yeah.
And it doesn't start here because if you think too much, you won't attach yourself to the love that's involved with being a human being. You got to help people. You got to be there for them. And it's not about you. It's about you giving to them, and what you receive in return is a hundredfold.
Yes. Yeah, it is. That's beautiful, JJ. I'm so glad I asked you. JJ's getting all of my crazy impromptu questions today. So thank you for your improv skills. I appreciate that. And now it is officially time for the final parting words of wisdom. You've already given us some great stories. You've made me laugh. You made us think. What else do you have for us today?
Final parting wisdom. I think you got me. That last part was good.
Okay. That was really good. We're welcome to go with that because it definitely underlines something that I'm conscious and passionate about right now.
Am I at a loss for words?
Really? Like, I think I win. There's a bell going somewhere. I win the award.
You got the t-shirt. I'll send you the record album.
Thank you, JJ. I appreciate that. No, I really do appreciate your time and your humor and your genuineness. I really, really like that. And I'm so glad that our mutual amazing friend, Dean Fisher, had introduced us, the consummate connector, I call him.
He's
the
great.
Man, right?
Yep.
He is the man, and so appreciative of him and in exchanging it with you as well. So thank you for being here, listeners. Thank you. Great gratitude for you and all the amazing reviews you've been leaving. Thank you so much for that. And hey, did you like the humor and the fun and the heart on this show today? Share it with a friend. JJ and I will both appreciate that. And don't forget to check out his show. Everyone, we will see you again next week.